Take your Bibles this morning, if you would, and turn with me to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10. We're going to look at verses 30 to 37 this morning. Luke, chapter 10, verses 30 to 37. That's page 721 in your pew Bible there, if you want that. Luke, chapter 10, we're going to look at verses 30 to 37. Let's stand together, give reverence to the reading of God's Word. Luke, chapter 10, if you'll follow in your Bibles, beginning in verse 30. Jesus is speaking. Jesus replied and said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among robbers, and they stripped him and beat him, and he went away leaving him half dead. By chance, a priest was going down on that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite also, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan who was on a journey came upon him, and when he saw him, he felt compassion. And he came to him and bandaged up his wounds, pouring oil and wine on them, and he put him on his beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. On the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend when I return, I will repay you.' Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell into the robber's hands?" And he said, "The one who showed mercy toward him." Then Jesus said to him, "Go and do the same." Let us pray. Father, we come before you this morning acknowledging that sometimes we become so busy that we forget those who you send across our path to minister to. And Father, we ask as we look into your scripture this morning that you would prick our hearts, that the Holy Spirit would come, minister to our needs here this morning. And Father, cause us to be stirred with compassion as this man was who helped his neighbor. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I want to do this a little different this morning, and I'm going to apologize. I'm even putting my notes away. We're going to do this a little different. This passage is really an overflow out of my studies over the last week or so, and it really spoke to my heart. You know how I like to go through a series of messages and such, but today I wanted us to stop and look about being too busy to minister. Any of you ever been busy? Anybody here had a busy schedule from time to time? Maybe. Now, some of you are vacationing, and I hope that your vacation is not a busy schedule. That's not what vacation is for. Most of us, when we take vacation, actually have to have vacation from our vacation. Isn't that right? Our vacation, we traveled, I'm trying to think, about 2,500 to 3,000 miles, and a little over a week and a half. So I needed another vacation from the vacation. That's not a vacation. Let me tell you something. A lot of us get too busy these days. Whether it can be a school schedule, a work schedule where you work, even in the church you can be too busy. Chuck Swindoll relates a story about himself in his book, Stress Fractures, about how he'd become so busy in the church as a pastor and as a minister that he began to snap at his wife. Now that's one usually a good sign. He began to snap at the children. He found himself wolfing down his food at the table. He didn't have time. He just had to eat as fast as he could to get to the next meeting. One day, his daughter, sitting at the table, looked at him and said, "Dad, I want to tell you a story real quick, and I won't take long to do it." He realized what was happening. He said, "Honey, it's okay. You can slow down and tell the story." And he'll never forget. He said, "I'll never forget what my daughter said to me. She said, 'Dad, then you need to listen slowly and to slow down.'" We're guilty. The passage I want us to look at this morning in Luke 10. I'm going to get in your face this morning. If you can see me, fine. If you're back there and you can't see me, I'll get back there to you. But in Luke chapter 10, Jesus addresses a story, gives out a story, because of a lawyer who's asked a question. He always gave a story and related to the question at hand. Well, the lawyer said, "Who is my neighbor?" And Jesus said, "Here is who your neighbor is." And he gives him a story. Now, we should look at that in that context. That is the primary context. That it is a story given by Jesus to help the lawyer understand who is the neighbor. And as we read the story this morning, and every one of you have read this from time to time, you know who the neighbor is. It's laid out in the story for us. And in its simplistic form, it helps us to understand that our neighbor is whoever God puts across our path. Those are the people we minister to. Regardless of race, color, religion, makes no difference. We minister to these people who God has put across our path. But what I want to do this morning is look at it in a slightly different context. Not taken out of context. Understand? I want to look at the characters in this story, though. Not to try to make it some allegory where we assign some kind of mystical application to each person. No. But you know, you never understand a story real well until you understand who the characters are involved. I found that out recently. I took my... I've taken my daughter and my wife. I think I've taken the whole family to see this new Star Wars movie when it came out. And it was hilarious. Now, I was there. I admit, I was there opening night, okay? But I did make it back in time for church. I sat in there, wall-to-wall people. I could not imagine all these people sitting in here for this movie. And as we sat there, I had to listen to people throughout the movie going, well, who is this? Well, now, what does this have to do with this character? Who is this character? You see, it made no sense to you if you hadn't seen the other three movies about who the other characters were. And they sat through 2 hours worth of movie trying to figure out, what's this kid got to do with anything in the movie? Sometimes I think we come to stories that are given to us and we don't take the time to look at the characters in the story and how they relate to us. There are four characters I want us to look at this morning in Luke chapter 10 together that I think will help us, because I'm going to ask you to take a test very shortly. And I'm going to ask you to say, which one of the four are you? And it's going to be very easy, because you're going to be able, after you look at these four, to tell real quick where you fit in. And to be honest, we may fit in more than one category. That's true. But look with me, if you would, in Luke chapter 10. The first character in this drama that's unfolding, the one I want to look at first, is the priest. We have a story here of an individual who has been robbed, beaten, left half dead. And the first person to come on the scene is who? Priest. Now let's understand what a priest is. Because to be honest, most of you sitting here this morning, unless you have come from a non-Protestant background, have no concept of a priest. We don't understand what it means. We've displaced ourselves 2,000 years and do not understand what it meant to be a priest in the Old Testament and in Jesus' day. There were certain qualifications for being a priest, as far as your marriage, who you could marry, your lineage, if you could serve as a priest, your age. Now, I'm old enough, I could have served as a priest at that time. But they had those qualifications. The priest was responsible for so many things. He was responsible for mediating between man and God. He was responsible for the sacrifices that would be offered to God. He was there daily interceding for the people of God. Once a year, he would go into the Holy of Holies, into the inner part of that tabernacle in the temple, and hope he came out alive. He would go in there offering the blood sacrifice to atone for sin. He was the guardian of the law of God. He had to know the law of God inside and out. Folks, not just the Ten Commandments. He had to know the first five books of the Bible. He had to know what God's law said for every occasion, because people would come to them and ask them to render judgment. This is the kind of person we're talking about here. We're talking about a person who had to go through so much ceremony when he went into the tabernacle and temple and getting dressed and bathed. They had to bathe first and then put on the different clothing and put on the breastplate with all the stones on it and the big turban he would wear in ministering before God, and be very particular about it. You know, there are stories, true ones, in the Old Testament where people went in and thought they could minister under God without doing what he had said. And you know what happened to them? They didn't minister anymore, permanently. They were very careful to follow the law of God. Now here's the first person on the scene. You got a picture of him? The person who's come down, we don't know his name, anything about him. We just know he was going from Jerusalem down to Jericho. He got robbed, he's beaten, he's left there. The priest comes along, sees this man laying down here, half dead, half naked. And what does he do? Says he goes the other side. He goes around, doesn't he? It's not like he just had a passing glance and said, I think there was somebody laying on the road here. Now, you know, we've all driven down the interstate, seen an accident or a car off in the ditch, and we're going, was that an accident? Was somebody in that car? And what did we do? We kept going, usually. That's not what it says. It says the priest took the time to look at the individual, look the situation over, and what did he do? He went out of his way to go around that person. Let me tell you something. He was too busy to minister. I'm on the way to the temple. You know, if I'm there 5 minutes late, those people have my hide. Do they understand who I am? I don't have time to minister to this guy. Let somebody else minister to him. I'm busy. I'm the pastor. I'm a minister of whatever. I don't have time to minister to people. Do they understand the responsibilities I have as a priest? I'm on my way up to the temple. What would happen if I didn't show up? I'm there to help them. I'm there to present the sacrifices today. It's my turn. I can't stop to help this person. God bless you. Somebody will be along here in a little bit. And he keeps going, doesn't he? The reason it spoke to me a lot as I reviewed this passage, because it's a very familiar story, is because I looked at the priest and I realized that it first spoke to pastors, those in the church who minister, and how sometimes we can be too busy to minister. I can pick on preachers, I is one, okay? As the old saying goes. We pastors can become so caught up with everything else that needs to be done that we forget what God has called us to do. To minister to people. To tend sheep. I wish there were more preachers here. I feel alone standing up here preaching to myself. But you know what? It's okay. It begins with the priest. But you know what? I'm so glad he didn't stop there. I would have felt really bad. Who's the next person that comes along? Levite. Okay, let's talk about the Levite. Who is a Levite? Well, they were the ones who were assigned to help the priest. We're going down the list here. Boy, you just wait. You're coming up. Those who had been assigned to help the priest in the ministerial functions within the tabernacle and temple, they were given the opportunity, the responsibilities, the privilege of assisting the priest. Now, the priest would offer the sacrifices. The Levites, if the priest was the one up there being seen, the Levites were the ones behind the scene making everything happen. You know, somebody has to clean up the temple after everybody leaves. Somebody's got to haul all these carcasses out of here from the sacrifices. Somebody's got to make sure all of this is getting done. And you don't see them, but you know it's there being done, don't you? And the Levites had been chosen, that whole tribe had been chosen for time on end to be the servants and the ministers in the temple and in the tabernacle. And that's what they did, day in, day out. They served and ministered in the temple. In the days of the tabernacle, do you remember the tent? That tabernacle? They had to put it up, take it down. Put it up, take it down. Time and time again. Now that doesn't sound like the most glamorous job in the world. But you know what? It was beneficial. It was necessary. It was needed. Now here's the guy who's coming along second. The pastor's already walked by. The staff has walked by. Now come the deacons. Can I pick on the deacons? They're here this morning. Not just them. Those who have been assigned to help the pastor, the priest, have come along. It says likewise, in the same manner, the Levite also, when he came to the place, saw him and passed on the other side. Those who have been used to ministering in the house of God to people. I don't have time. Do they understand that preacher is a bear if I'm not there on time for my meeting? Do they understand what that preacher's got me doing these days? I don't have time to stop and minister to this man on the side. I don't even know who he is. It's not my place. Let somebody else minister to him. The Levite who is the assistant who's always been there to help and to serve goes out of his way to walk around this individual in need. Too busy to minister, wasn't he? Do you know what meeting I have got to go to today? Now listen to me. How many of you serve on committees? Okay. How many meetings do we have? No, you're supposed to say too many. Do they know what meeting I've got? A personnel meeting. Personnel meeting this today at 5 o'clock. I've got stewardship meeting next Thursday at 7 o'clock. Folks, I know you serve on 2 and 3 committees. You know which ones the preacher serves on? All of them. And yet we use these excuses to say, I don't have time to minister. Listen to me. Listen to me carefully. We can become too busy for God to minister unto God to those He's called us to serve and to minister to. Let me tell you something. There are hurting people every day that we walk by and we walk around and go the other way. Somebody else will deal with them. Somebody else will help them. He doesn't stop with the priest. He doesn't stop with the Levites. Let's look here. Somebody else comes along. This should really prick us to the heart. But a Samaritan who was on the journey came upon him, and when he saw him, he felt compassion. Who is the Samaritan? Well, back about 677 BC, Esarhaddon of Assyria moved in people into the northern kingdom. After they took everybody out, they brought in these non-Jews and put them in the northern kingdom. After, you can imagine, after centuries and centuries, those non-Jews married the Jews. They intermingled. They adopted some of the worship practices of the Jews along with their own pagan worship. We would use a term today that would really be derogatory. We'd call them half-breeds. Not just physically. We're talking spiritually. Here is one of the people that the Jews hate more than anyone. You know, it's bad enough that you're a non-Jew. But to be half a Jew was even worse. They could tolerate a Gentile, but they couldn't tolerate a half-Jew. And this half-Jew comes along and has compassion. But his compassion was more than just, you know, I feel so sorry for you laying there in the ditch. What does it say he did? He came to him, bandaged up his wounds, poured oil and wine on them, and put him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. Even paid the man 2 denarii. 2 days' wages he gave the innkeeper. That was not for 2 days' stay at the inn, folks. They figured it out. We don't pay a day's wage to stay in a hotel. Well, you can, I guess, in some expensive hotels. I don't. Okay? They gave him 2 coins, which would have lasted a while at the inn. But he said, listen, even if that's not enough, when I come back, I'll settle the bill. I'll take care of the entire need because I know he can't. The third person in this drama is a Samaritan, the half-Jew, sort of religious, and yet he shows compassion. I'd like to tell you that the Samaritan, and you're going to be offended at this at first, but listen to me, the Samaritan is Jesus. Throughout Scripture, you will hear him being called by his enemies a Samaritan, one who's demon-possessed, some kind of half-breed. We don't know where he came from. In a sense, it was true. They didn't know where he came from. In a sense, it was true. He was fully God, fully man. But Jesus was the one who would have compassion on those who were hurt, those who were laying in the ditch, those who can't get up. Now, there's a fourth character. And we sometimes leave him out, and I don't know why. The fourth character is the unnamed person laying in the ditch. That fourth person was the one on the road from Jerusalem down to Jericho. If you've ever looked at those roads from back then, they were treacherous, they were winding, they were perfect hideouts for bandits. And you know, you didn't travel alone. That was not a good idea. Some would have pointed their finger at this man and said, you know what? He deserved what he got. He went down that road by himself. It was after hours. He knew better. He didn't take a companion with him. He didn't take a weapon with him. Now he's in the ditch, and they want us to help him. Well, you know what? He made his bed. Let him lay in it. Folks, I hear that in the house of God. I hear that in the body of Christ. People who are hurting, laying in the ditch, and we say, you know what? They put themselves there. Let them lay there a while. The Bible tells me that the Samaritan had compassion. He had enough compassion that he was willing to reach down into the ditch and pick the person up. Enough compassion to put him on whose beast? His own beast. Enough compassion to take him to the nearest lodge and pay the accommodations, and enough compassion that he would pay the entire bill. This man would owe nothing. But you know what? This fourth character, this man who was on his way down from Jerusalem to Jericho, probably, now this is hypothetical, but probably was a Jew. And you see, we find a Jewish priest going all the way around him. We find a Levite who's Jew going around him. And we find the Samaritan who's half Jew taking the time to be compassionate and to minister. He was not too busy to minister. The test I was going to give you this morning, and like I said, this is different because, to be honest, I just wanted to speak from my heart to you. I think we can become, as the body of Christ, just too busy to minister to people. And I think it's a shame. And I think it's a shame because I look in my own life. I look at those four characters of a priest, a Levite, the Samaritan, and I look at that unnamed individual laying in the ditch. And I see people who fit those categories today. I see those who are professionals that are too busy to minister. I see those who are called along the side to help minister who are too busy to minister. Sometimes their own fault, sometimes not. I see those who are compassionate, who actually take time to minister to people. Let me ask you a question. How do you view interruptions? How do you view them? I'll be honest, I'm not one of those kind of people that just enjoys interruptions. Folks, if I've got my plan, I've got my eye set, this is where I'm going, don't interrupt me. You know what? God has a sense of humor. Every time I get set and this is what I'm going to do, he interrupts. Just to remind me that sometimes interruption equals ministry opportunities. And yet we have become so concerned with, quote, doing ministry, and we forget those that God puts across our path every day to minister to. And we wonder why. I was talking to a pastor friend last night, back in deep East Texas, down in Longview. He was a pastor for about 12 to 15 years in a local church. He's been out for nearly 2 years now. I won't go through all the circumstances, but things happen. That's just life. He's been in school just trying to get refreshed. He preaches on the weekends when he can. But a pastor came to him this last week and said, you know, you're just wasting your time. You need to get busy for God and get back in there and get preaching again. Well, he's preaching, but he's also going to school full time. He's also working a 40-hour job as a security officer. I call him a bouncer for Christ. He gets a witness to him before he bounces him out the store. And it's hilarious because he doesn't just announce, hey, I'm an ordained minister of God. He doesn't tell anyone. Last week, he had someone come up to him and says, you know, I hear you're a minister. And he says, well, that's true. He says, well, I'm going to be the most lost person you've ever met. And says, but I need to know Christ. And had the opportunity to lead someone to Christ right there on the job. And yet here was this minister saying, you need to get busy for God. And he's going, I'm busier than he could ever imagine. People are coming to Christ. I'm having opportunities to disciple and help people find church homes. Sometimes we can become too busy to even really do service for God. We think we're doing what God wants. I understand. I'm going to present to our stewardship committee here in about a week. You know how I am, folks. You know I like numbers and computers and those sorts of things. We did a chart up. We spend between 75 to 80% of our budget on administrative functions. And you think, well, that's not too bad. We still got 20% left to do ministry. Well, out of that, another 17% goes to missions, and that's good that we need that. That's going there. I think I calculated we have about 2 to 3% that we can spend on ministry. Now, let me ask you, would you give money to an organization on every dollar that spent 97 cents to go somewhere else besides what you asked them to do? Why? They're not doing what I asked them to do. They're spending it all. What would we think if our mission board spent that kind of money on administrative functions? We wouldn't support them. And yet in the church, we've become so busy for God, we've forgotten what ministry really is, people, to be honest. It's not about staff that we need it. It's not about salaries. We need it. It's not about keeping the building up. We need it. It's not about new buildings. We need it. It's about ministering to the people that God brings across our path. And I'm telling you, He brings them across your path every day. I want to ask you this morning, which one are you? Are you the priest or the Levite who's too busy for God? You just don't know my schedule, preacher. You just don't. If it's not the 40-hour work week, I've got the committees I set on at church. You don't understand. Then we need to step back and say, why are we here? We're here to minister to people. People are our number one priority. They were the number one priority for God. They ought to be our number one priority again. Are you the Samaritan? Do you view interruptions as ministry opportunities? Because let me tell you, I can guarantee you, even in a crowd of this size, there are some people hurting here this morning. Honestly hurting. Who need ministering too. And they come to the one place they think they can find help. And we say, we're too busy. Come back again. Are you the Samaritan who will take the time to see interruptions in your life as ministry opportunities to share Christ, to minister to people? Are you the fourth person? Let me tell you something. A lot of us have been there. That fourth person, someone who's hurt, who's laying in the ditch, half dead. You know what it's a beautiful picture of? Don't get offended, but it is. It is a picture of us when we were lost in sin. The world came along and stripped us, beat us, and left us half naked and half dead in the ditch, unable to do anything for ourselves. But you see, Jesus came along, reached down, picked us up, and put us on His own beast, took us to the inn, paid the bill, and would pay anything else needed. This morning, you may be laying in the ditch of your own making. I tell you, there's a Samaritan called Jesus who wants to take you and pick you up out of that ditch so that you can experience new life. Christian, you may be there too. But I'm telling you, I'm not here to judge you this morning. You may have made that ditch, dug it deep, and put yourselves in it. But you know what? I want to tell you that we are here to help you, to reach down and to pick you back up. It was God's priority. I pray it will be ours. Thank you for letting me just share from my heart with you this morning. It was a burden on my heart because I fear that you and I can become too busy for God. May we never be too busy to serve those He loved so much and was willing to die for. Let's pray. Father, this has sort of been impromptu. We just wanted to see how these characters in this story you told could impact our lives. God, I know I'm guilty of being a priest who's been too busy at times. Father, I know there are many here who've been too busy as well, and we need to take the time to really look at our priorities and to understand that people are our ministry. And Father, you have given us sheep to help, to guide, to help mature. And Father, you bring people across our paths every day and we just walk the other way. God, would you break our hearts this morning? Because I know it breaks yours. God, would you help us to look at those interruptions as opportunities for ministry? God, would we take away the complexity of church life and make it simplistic in serving Christ? Would you bless as we seek to serve you, not out of busyness, but out of love for those who are laying there, hurting, bleeding, dying, penniless, unable to help themselves. Father, I pray, most of all, that if there's anyone here this morning laying in that ditch of despair, who's given up all hope, who's never given their life to Jesus Christ, that they would this morning see Him, ready to reach down to pick them up and to bear them up and to help them. And Father, I pray that they would just by faith trust Him. Father, May we see souls come into the kingdom of God. And may we be responsible enough to minister to them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand and take a hymnal and turn to page 320, if you would. This morning, if you're in the ditch, all I ask is that you take a step of faith and that you would come this morning. Let me share with you how Christ can help you to get up out of that ditch. You can't do it yourself. You're laying there penniless and broke. But let me tell you, you've got the richest Savior in the world ready to reach down to you. The Christian, if you're here this morning and God has spoken to your heart about those interruptions that you call interruptions that are now ministry opportunities, spend time in prayer. Let Him break your heart like He's broken mine. And I ask this morning, if there's any decision you need to make, I want to just leave the invitation open for whatever you have. Would you come? Don't wait. Do it on the first verse as we sing.